In his letter to the Galatian churches, Paul describes something that he calls the fruits of the Spirit. These are qualities which he anticipates will grow in us as we live out our lives as Christians. There are 9 of these fruits, and they're listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Over the next 9 weeks I will look at what we might learn about them. Today I'm taking the first one, love. The word love has a range of meanings. So we can say, for example, I love my family, I love my wife, I love chocolate, I love playing the guitar, I love God, I love my dog. In all of these examples, the same word carries a different nuance in its meaning. When a single word has different meanings, this can sometimes lead to hurt and misunderstanding. Which meaning is meant and which is heard? So, for example, when the Bible says God loves you, which meaning are you to take? Does God love you like I love my dog? Or is it like I love my guitar? Or something else? The language the New Testament was written in is Greek. And the Greek language had 4 different words for love. What are they? And which one of them describes what God's love is like? The first word is phileo. Phileo is the kind of love that's expressed between friends. This love responds to kindness and appreciation, and it can often return it. It involves giving as well as receiving. However, when it's greatly strained, phileo can collapse in a crisis. Secondly, we have storge. Storge is similar to phileo, but it's not friendship love, it's family love. It expresses relationships within families, the love of a mother or a father or a brother or a sister. It is a love which is born and nurtured in the intimate relationship we find in a family group. This is rare in the Bible, and on the 2 occasions where it does appear, it appears in the negative. Thirdly, we have eros. Eros is physical love, and it looks to itself and its own satisfaction. So the statement, I love you because you complete me, is essentially selfish because it's concerned about me and my need to be complete rather than it is about you. If you love someone simply because something in them pleases you, when that characteristic disappears, then the reason for the love does as well. The result being, I don't love you anymore. The New Testament doesn't use the word eros at all. Finally, and most importantly, we have agape. Agape is the word most commonly translated in the Bible as love. It is the love which we would most easily understand as the love of God. It is a selfless, giving love. It loves despite, not because of. When we say God is love, it is this love which we are talking about. The most recognisable description of this love is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's often read out at weddings. Many of you will recognise it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This kind of love is the kind which, more than any other one, is a choice. We don't love just because we want to. We don't love because it gives us a warm feeling inside. We don't love others because we are loved by them or because they're likely to return our love. Agape love is a choice. It is deliberate, consistent and transparent. It doesn't ebb and flow according to how you feel on any given day, and it doesn't come and go depending on how nice or deserving other people are. It always seeks the good of those you are called to love. You are never more like God than when you're shown agape love, the love you give regardless of whether it's deserved or not. It is this love that God loves us with. It is this love that he challenges us to love others with. Will you take up that challenge in 2020?